And with that, gentlemen, allow me to shift over to something different. And I have to admit that I usually don't read this magazine, and I don't even have a subscription to it, and for many reasons that you'll probably know, but this time is an exception to the rule. Have you heard of this magazine? No. The name of the magazine is Mishpacha Magazine. Have you heard of it?
Yeah.
Okay. Mishpacha Magazine is not exactly of what I would call the tzibur that you daven in, but it's part of the Orthodox world, and they have this nice flashy magazine, and they deal with many different things. And recently, in November, they dealt with the issue of time off for yeshiva guys. Namely, they should have more time off, less time off, a whole question. Unwinding, not unwinding. Very interesting. Not for now. However, this gentleman wrote the following, a former yeshiva bacher, which tells you a bit, Bruce, about the world they're functioning in. They don't even put their name down, even though what he's writing, I think, is extremely important. And I have to admit, I didn't know about this, but there's a great rabbi in Woodmere named Rabbi Moshe Weinberger. He's the rabbi of a shul that's based on Hasidic thought and practice called Eish Kodesh, named after the Eish Kodesh, the Peshischa Rebbe, who died, as you know, in the Warsaw Ghetto, I believe. And ultimately, he was the one that gave a scathing talk about this, and it came to my attention, and I want to say a few things about it. Not a Ben Azmanim problem. Does everyone know what Ben Azmanim is? Ben Azmanim means that yeshiva is built on three Zmanim, and there's vacation in between them called Ben Azmanim. Okay? I read with great interest the recent debate in these pages regarding the amount of leeway society should grant yeshiva bachurim who need to unwind. Okay? And there was various points, and he says there's a big false premise. And he goes on to say the following, the middle column. We have created this fiction that yeshiva bachurim are just so overwhelmed with their hard work in yeshiva and thus react in a certain way during the few weeks of vacation. And when then debate which activities are okay and which are over the line. But here is the inconvenient truth. There is no such people. Perhaps we just don't want to admit it, but every former and current yeshiva bacha knows that, and I quote, if a yeshiva boy is waking up at 10 a.m. during Ben Azmanim, it's not because he's burnt out from waking up at 6 a.m. the whole Zman. It's precisely because he didn't wake up at 6 a.m. the whole Zman. He feels a void in his life. Another Zman has passed and he feels no sense of accomplishment. He has nothing to wake up for in the morning and therefore has trouble getting out of bed. Point number one, we have Zman Tefillah. We have Zman Kriyat Shema, we have Zman Tefillah. If someone's waking up at 10 most of the year, it's after that. So what does that tell you? That he's tired? Or that tells you that he really doesn't care too much about halacha? He doesn't really care about Zman Tefillah, Zman Kriyat Shema. He wakes up afterwards. Next point. Why do you think those same bachurim also tend to be the ones who come up with all kinds of justifications to leave the Zman early? They don't just go home Ben Azmanim, they leave early. I assure you it's not because they just learned so much and are simply about to crack. It's because they're bored and feel empty. They need a change of scenery. You want to know where you can find a bachur who learned and accomplished this past month? Go to your local base medrash during Ben Azmanim. You'll find him there. You won't find him at the 10:30 a.m. Shachris. The second point he makes, I'm going to divide into two. The first point is, why do you think those same guys are at the 10:30 minyan? Because during yeshiva, they're not accomplished. And here I think he brings up a very vital point about the Jewish life. Do all of us have to learn Torah? Yes. Do all of us have to learn the same amount of Torah every day? Are all of us cut out for full-time learning? The answer is no. Not only is there ADHD and LD, the Jewish people have many needs. We have needs to have rabbis and talmidei chachamim, and we have needs to have plumbers and electricians, as well as accountants and doctors and lawyers. Unfortunately, in certain parts of the Orthodox world, there's this cookie-cutter idea that every single single boy has to learn full-time in yeshiva. That never was the tradition in Europe. In Europe, there were a select few that learned full-time, but others learned a little in the morning, learned a little in the evening, and went to work. There's different needs for the Jewish people. So if someone is waking up at 10:30 a.m., it's not because I'm on vacation, I need to unwind, but rather it's because they don't feel that they're in the right place. But in certain parts of the Orthodox world, if you're not in that place, that has ramifications. What's the ramifications, Bruce? If you're not in a yeshiva, a prestigious yeshiva, for that matter.
If you don't get married.
There you go! You hurt your shidduch in the future. You're already called a second-rate, the third-rate citizen. And the list goes on and on and on. That should not be. That should have to change. Thank God in Israel it is changing. Because at least in the more modern, not the modern, but I would say the religious Zionist world, there's yeshivas for basketball, yeshivas for tiulim, and yeshivas for full-time learning. And I think that that's a beautiful thing, because these people shouldn't have been in yeshiva in the first place. And the idea that you have this cookie-cutter way to raise children is awful. The second point he makes, I have to totally disagree with. And that is, I believe he's exaggerating. He says, you want to know where to find a bachur who learned and accomplished? Go to your local base medrash during Ben Hazmanim. Here I got a very big problem. I believe that the author of this article, who calls himself a former yeshiva bachur, does not value off time or vacation time. Is there a value to vacation in Judaism? A time to recharge your batteries? Or if someone goes on vacation, they should always feel guilty?
Well, he's suggesting vacation maybe a change of location and routine. So let's say you were in yeshiva and you had to get up in your certain sun. Yeah, minion. So go to a slightly later minion and go with friends that you'd like to hang out you haven't seen for years in the Beit Midrash of your local synagogue or with your parents. Because he feels that learning every day is important. If you're in that world, just change the location, change the style, and learn something different.
So allow me to say the following. First of all, even someone that's learning full time, when he's on vacation, should learn Torah. There's no question. Albeit, he doesn't have to learn all day. After all, the Shulchan Aruch and Shulchan Aruch we paskin that if someone learns all week, he doesn't have to learn too much on Shabbos. So number one, I don't feel that if you really love yeshiva, the only litmus test is that even during your vacation, you're in the Beis Medrash. I don't think that's correct. Okay? I think that's an exaggeration. Number two, we see value in not just learning. There are other things that we do to get to Ahavat Hashem and Yirat Hashem. Right here around this kollel table a few weeks ago, when I dealt with the issue of, is modern orthodoxy nuancing itself out of existence, I quoted the Rambam in Yesodei HaTorah Perek Bet Halacha Bet. What does the Rambam say? We all want to get to Ahavat Hashem, to love God. How do we get to Ahavat Hashem? By looking at nature. By looking at nature. So the only way, it's true, and Sefer HaMitzvot, he says, by doing mitzvot. That's one way. But there's another way. Looking at nature, going on tiulim. So to say there's no value to unwinding, to going on vacation, and if you're a good yeshiva bachur, then even during your vacation, you'll refuse to go on vacation, I can't accept that. And I'll just go one step further, and that is the fact that there's a famous Yerushalmi at the end of Kiddushin, I forgot which perek, that says that you and I, Arthur, will be giving din v'cheshbon to God that we didn't see the Alps. What is that all about? God created something in this world for you to enjoy. Be it good food, be it a beautiful scene, be it hotels, jacuzzis, saunas, and you don't enjoy it. It's like saying to God, don't need your toivis, Michael toivis. So, I don't want yeshiva bachers in the middle of the Zman to go on vacation, but I do want them to deal with the other parts of Avodat Hashem, namely enjoying this world far more and seeing sceneries that will bring you to Ahavat Hashem and many other such things after the Zman is over. Namely, I can't accept this idea that learning full time is the only fulfillment of being a Jew. That's not true.
opposite. The guy can go to an early minion, do a dafyomi in school, and then
just do it. I don't even think he needs to go to the early minion. He can go to the 8 o'clock minion before his man kriyat shma, before his man tefillah, and then learn a little bit, yes, in the morning and in the evening, and then go and do the other parts of Avodat Hashem, which is scenery, enjoying this world, etc. So to say that, oh, the only litmus test for a good yeshiva bachur is the one that even during vacation, he says, I don't want vacation, I don't want to go anywhere, even if you force me into the car, I'm going to hold my gemara. That's an exaggeration, and I really, truly can't accept it. I believe that part and parcel of being a Jew is things beyond learning.
I'm not disagreeing with you, Shiro, that there are modern-day camps today where kids who are pretty good with computers, or whatever they're good at school all year long, on their vacation time, they voluntarily, the parents don't pressure this, because they can't push a kid into such a miscarriage, they go to the camp that highlights the thing that they like to do during the rest of the year, but all day long, whether it's karate,
nice,
computers,
beautiful,
math, chess. They go to these camps to highlight their skills.
Beautiful.
One of them is guys who are good at learning, and maybe they want to go to a special vacation camp where it's super duper learning, not just like regular learning. They want to go to an advanced learning camp. So I think maybe this guy is in that mold. He loved learning. He's a super learner. And rather than, quote, vacationing or, I dare say, dumbing down, so to speak, you want a super-duper experience for those people, have that opportunity also.
So once again, for those that like it so much, I think that they should go to those beautiful camps. But first of all, my first point, it's not a cookie-cutter way of raising children. Not every single Jew out there should be learning full-time, both during the year and on vacation and whatnot. Should every Jew learn? Absolutely. But, and this is my next point we'll get to, what about those that can't? But the bottom line is, Bruce, I have to disagree that if in those camps they're learning full-time only, then they're not doing other parts of Avodat Hashem, like enjoying this world. It could be a sauna, a jacuzzi, swimming, etc. And I think they do that in those camps. I'm not going to go and say that they're not. As well as seeing sights. Yes, the Alps is an amazing sight. And it doesn't exist in Israel. Okay? Ah, here comes the girls' camp. Now we're getting to the girls. We just mentioned until now that this is cookie-cutter idea that everyone's supposed to learn in yeshiva, even if they're not appropriately suited for it, and we find that problematic. And we also said that it's problematic that there's no value to unwinding into vacation time under, obviously, limits. Self-discipline of getting up in the morning to shul and ultimately learning a little. Now I want to go to the girls. He ends the article with the girls. Girls, if you want a boy who wants to be Meiser Nefesh to build a kollel home with a true foundation, etc., but he says he needs a break from his work, while you don't seem to need the same break, don't take him. Here I have a huge issue, and I'll explain my issue. And this takes me from the boys to the girls. The same girls in this particular community are taught from a young age the following two ideals. Number one, you have to go to this and this seminary because if you don't, you won't get a good shidduch. And number two, the best and only shidduch you can get is someone that learns full time. I hate to say this, but whatever happened to the Yerei Shamayim Balabas? Whatever happened to this wonderful man who's honest in business, has a company where he pays on time, where he treats his workers with respect? Judaism is only about Orach Chaim Yoredeya? Whatever happened to Choshen Mishpat? The truth is that when you teach girls this from an early age, then indeed, they go ahead and they say, I need someone from this and this yeshiva. So everyone that wants one of those girls goes to that and that yeshiva. They don't not suited for it. They probably play around most of the time. They stay in their room, but they're in this yeshiva. And therefore, on their resume, they're considered grade one. We have lost, in the Jewish people, in my opinion, the respect we should have for people who work for a living, who make an honest living, and are Yirei Shamayim Shomrei Torah Mitzvot. I mean, you think in Europe before the war, the majority were yeshiva bachurs? They were the minute of the minority, the select few. Even Volozhin, the big yeshiva in its height, how many do you think they had there? 400 students? Maybe. And that's all of the children of Europe, at least in the Lithuanian world. So to say that today, the only most respected, most appropriate shidduch for me is going to be someone who learns an ex-yeshiva, I find that problematic. We have many, many great Jews that never learned in yeshiva. Never. But they were Yirei Shamayim, and they were Shomrei Torah Mitzvot, and they deserve respect for that. And let me just give the temple a simple example from our generation. How many Holocaust survivors were snatched from their habitat, 13, 14, never learned in a high yeshiva, and ultimately never could? Eventually, after the war, all they had to deal with was financial survival after they dealt with physical survival for so many years. And these people built families, shuls, Jewish institutions, many of which we are the direct benefactors of. They don't deserve our respect. They're not part of the Jewish people. Only the yeshiva bachurs matter. Let's go further. In this day and age, my Rebbe, Rav Amital, married into a rabbinic family. The family of Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer, if you heard the name, pretend you did. Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer, the Rosh Yeshiva in Slutsk, eventually the Rosh Yeshiva of Eitz Chaim in Yerushalayim, great Lamda and Talmud of Rav Chaim, wrote the Evan HaEzel on the Rambam. This is a rabbinic family. So when Rav Amital's son was bar mitzvah, they had a bar mitzvah, and all the people got up to speak and said, you should be a Gadol Batoira. You should be a Gadol Batoira. You should be a Gadol Batoira. Until Rav Amital got very upset and said, my father was not a rabbi, neither was my grandfather, and I have no right to demand of you to be a rabbi. I have a right to demand of you to be a Yirei Shamayim Shomer Torah Mitzvot. But if you clean the streets, that's also good. Oh my gosh! If he would have said, I'm taking him to the Vatican, it would have been okay. This, whoa! The room went into pandemonium. Gentlemen, whatever happened to the respect we have for a good electrician and plumber? Which leads me to my next point. You live in a community, say in the United States. Can you just be part of that community if you're an electrician or plumber? I'm serious. Will they give you aliyahs? Will they respect you? I mean, an electrician doesn't have to scramp around for food. It's an honest living. But today, we're sort of living in a world that even if you work for a living, then it has to be in an office with a secretary. If you work with your hands, no good. I even heard a terrible, terrible point of view from Rabbi Jeremy Weider in the name of a lady from one of these big modern Orthodox rich communities, I won't say which. She said on Yom Kippur night, we say, Anachnu matirim lihitpalel lima avar yanim. But unfortunately, we're not willing to say, Anachnu matirim lihitpalel lima aniyim. And this is a terrible, terrible stain on the Jewish people. Being an electrician, and being a plumber, and being a carpenter are as much of a needed part of the Jewish family than a doctor, a lawyer, and an accountant. Okay? I'm married to a lawyer, so I'm going to get hell for this, but I believe we as the Jewish people can live without lawyers. We can't live without carpenters, because we'll have nowhere to put our clothes. We can't live without plumbers, because then we wouldn't be able to use the washing facilities in our home. So to think about it, just to put priorities straight, I believe that we have lost the basic respect for honest, hardworking people who work with their hands. It's like considered not a high profession. It's considered as if he didn't make it in life. And I find that to be very problematic. Now, this is more of a question outside of Israel. In Israel, because we're a Jewish country, we need it all. So we have Jewish doctors and lawyers and obviously accountants, but we also have Jewish electricians and plumbers and carpenters and whatnot. Correct. And kibbutznikim and whatnot, different. But, again, how many people are absolutely proud to say, I'm an electrician, or I'm a plumber. And how many people feel, I won't even mention it, I work for a living. like Jackie Mason, Zechron Levracha, used to say, if you're a plum, if you drive a truck and you're a Jew, you can't admit you drive a truck and you're a Jew. So you have to say, I deal in trucking. That has to change. That has to change. That never was our Mesoret, and it shouldn't be in the future. A Jew and the Jewish people have many needs. And I don't believe the one and only need is yeshiva bachers and everything else goes down. I find that to be very problematic, and I'll add to it. I listen, like you, to classes online. And I'm always very troubled that when the classes are online to give sort of motivation to the people listening, it's always about learning more Torah. Learning more Torah is extremely important. That's why we're sitting here this morning. But that's like the sum all. There's nothing else to talk about. What about being honest? What about accomplishing? What about leaving the world in a better place than when you got here? Like all that is like in another world, another realm. We don't have to talk about that. All we have to talk about is continuing to learn Torah. Continuing to learn Torah. This is like the only ends all of it all. Nothing else matters. Nothing else is important. Only learn more Torah, learn more Torah, learn up a storm. That's it. The bottom line is, we have many needs in the Jewish people. And to only talk about Torah learning and more Torah learning is important. But then, say the next line. Just like we have Yeredeya and Choshen Mishpat, we also have Yeredeya and Orachai, and we have Choshen Mishpat. And allow me to add the following story. I think I told it before. Some say Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said this. Some say Rav Natan Tzvi Finkel, the alter from Salobotka, said this. They went up to him to ask about a student who was getting a shidduch, and they asked, is he frum? Have you heard that term before? Are you frum? What does frum mean? We think frum means religious. Yes? Said again, it could be the alter Salobotka, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, or both of them. Frum! Frum is for a galach. Frum. You want someone religious? Go to a reverend. Go to a church. Ask for a priest. He's very frum. We Jews are not frum. We Jews are ehrlich. Ehrlich in Yiddish means honest. When you're honest with God. You do the mitzvot. You're also honest with human beings. Your honesty is this hand, Yoredeya Orechayim. This hand, Choshen Mishpat. Not to mention in between them, Eben HaEzer, which are the laws of marital relationships and how to dissolve a marriage. And I hate to say this, but an Ehrlich Yid, an honest Jew, would never hold up his wife for ransom if the marriage has to be dissolved. It would never happen. I'll quote my dear friend, Rabbi Eliyahu Safran, in a beautiful one-page article I once read. And he wrote the following. He can't believe that B'nai Torah get married like B'nai Torah and divorced like terrorists. Do I need to elaborate, Arthur? Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I'll give you a get, $100,000. So what if I abused you? So what if I don't work for a living? You wanted me to give you a get, $100,000. And there's rabbis out there saying, yeah, you know, just for the get. Let's, you know, fundraise the money. You get married like B'nai Torah, you get divorced like B'nai Torah. You should know Rabbi Safran in that article didn't just talk and say, I'm preaching to the choir. He got divorced. And when, you know, all the marital consulting and whatnot didn't work, he said to the Beis Din, write a get. It took a week for the Beis Din to get together. It would have been done a week earlier. So I hate to say this, but an Ehrlich Yid would never do that. He's honest with God. He's honest with human beings. And he would never hold up his wife or his kids for ransom or play them as pawns in a divorce game. That is something that an Ehrlich Yid wouldn't do. So to say, oh, we have to educate for is Torah and more Torah and more Torah. Gentlemen, of course it's important, but it's not the only thing that's important in Judaism. The last few weeks we've been reading about the Avot in the Torah. I don't remember reading they were learning Torah. Did they keep the whole Torah? According to Chazal, they did, even here with Tafshilin. Don't ask me how. That's a whole lecture in and of itself. How did the Avot keep the whole Torah? But the bottom line is that, indeed, they were involved in various relationships with Paro, Avimelech, civil rivalry. How did they deal with real-life dilemmas, conquests, concerns, and whatnot? So to go ahead and to say that's it, only a bachur that likes to learn in Ben Azmanim, I can't accept that, and I can't accept that's the only thing we should educate for. And he ends with the following statement. Parents, if you're worried about a son who's doing nothing over Ben Azmanim, don't listen to those who reassure you that everything is okay and that it's perfectly acceptable behavior. Trust your instincts. Here I agree 100%. You cannot do nothing. That I have to agree. I don't accept the point of view of he's going through a phase, let him do nothing. If indeed you don't want to learn, that's fine, then you should be doing other things. Work a cash register at a supermarket. That's accomplishing. You're helping a lot of people buy food. Okay, I can give an entire shiur, Arthur, on the following question. Maybe if your daughter works in a supermarket, she's doing a big isser in the Torah of Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Michsho. Why? Because someone overweight like me comes to buy cakes and cookies, and I'm about to be, here, I'm giving you my credit card, I want you to check me out. Well, she's helping me eat those cakes and cookies, and she looks at me, you're obese. Hey, you shouldn't be eating that stuff. It's a whole shear in and of itself, an ethical dilemma. No, you'd buy fruits and vegetables. But and they're as expensive in this country. Unfortunately, to make a long story short, that I have to agree. There's no such thing as doing nothing. I don't like that. I see it. Again, 2-3 days take off, fine. You know, but to do nothing over your vacation, I find that to be very problematic. Very problematic. So gentlemen, I don't know why this particular letter sort of let me off on this, but I thought I would share it with you this morning because I believe there's a lot to talk about regarding our Orthodox community, the primary focus of Torah learning, who is it for, when is it for them, etc. Wishing everyone a very good day, and Yemirtzeh Hashem, we will meet next week.